Eva, certainly, Rajnyaha, for the king, Yat, because, Shashtamsham, 1/6 part, Sukritat, from the pious activities. Rita, collector. Sorry, Harta, collector. Anyatha, otherwise. Rita Punyaha, being bereft of the result of pious activities. Prajanam, of the citizens. Arakshita, one who does not protect. Karaharaha, tax collector. Agham, sin. Atti, receives or suffers. Translation and purport by His Loving Divine Grace, Abhay Sharanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. To give protection to the general mass of people who are citizens of the state in the prescribed occupational duty is the prescribed occupational duty for a king. By acting in that way, the king in his next life shares 1/6 of the results of the pious activities of the citizens. But a king or executive head of state who simply collects taxes from the citizens but does not give them proper protection as a human being has the result of his own pious activities taken away by the citizens. And in exchange for his not giving protection, he becomes liable to punishment for the impious activities of his subjects. Purport. The question may be raised here that if everyone engaged in spiritual activities to attain salvation and became indifferent to the activities of the material world, then how could things as they are go on? And if things are not go on as they ought to, how can a head of a state be indifferent to such activities? In answer to this question, the word Shreyaha, auspicious, is used here. The division of activities in society are arranged by the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, was not blindly or accidentally created, as foolish people say. The Brahman must do his duty properly, and the Kshatriya, the Vaishya, and even the Shudra must do the same. And every one of them can achieve the highest perfection of life, liberation from this material bondage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text number 45. Sve se karmanya bhirataha sam siddhim labhate naraha. By executing one's prescribed duties, one can attain the highest perfection. Lord Vishnu advised Maharaj Prithu that a king is not enjoined to give up his kingdom and the responsibility of protecting the praja or citizens, to instead go away to the Himalayas for liberation. He can attain liberation while executing his royal duties. The royal duty or the duty of the head of state is to see that the prajas or the general mass of people are doing their respective duties for spiritual salvation. A secular state does not necessitate a king or head of state who is indifferent to activities of the prajas. In the modern state, the government has many rules and regulations for conducting the duties of the prajas. But the government neglects to see that the citizens advance in spiritual knowledge. If the government is careless in this matter, the citizen will act whimsically without any sense of God's realization or spiritual life, and thus become entangled in sinful activity. An executive head should not be callous to the welfare of general mass of people while he simply goes on collecting taxes. The king's real duty is to see that the citizens gradually become fully Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious means completely free from all sinful activities. As soon as there is a complete eradication of sinful activities in the state, then there will be no more war, pestilence, famine, or natural disturbances. This was actually prevailing during the regime of Maharaj Yudhishthir. If a king or a head of a government is able to induce the citizens to become Krishna conscious, then he is worthy to rule over the mass of people. Otherwise, he has no right to levy taxes. If the king looks after the spiritual interests of citizens, he can levy taxes without difficulties. In this way, both the subject and the king will be happy during this life and in the next life. The king will be able to share 1/6 of the pious activities of the citizens. Otherwise, by levying taxes on the sinful citizens, he will have to share the reaction of their sinful activities. This same principle can be applied to parents and spiritual master as well. If parents simply given birth to children like cats and dogs, but cannot save their children from imminent death, they become responsible for the activities of their animalistic children. Lately, such children are turning into hippies. Similarly, if spiritual master cannot direct his disciples to become free from sinful activities, he becomes responsible for their sinful acts. These subtle laws of nature are unknown to the present leaders of society. Since the leaders of society have a poor fund of knowledge and the citizens in general are rogues and thieves, there cannot be an auspicious situation for human society. At the present moment, the whole world is full of such an incompatible combination of state and citizens, and therefore there is constant tension, war, anxiety as an inevitable result of such a social condition. Om Ajnana Dimrandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Swapanandigam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guruna Vaishnavancha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Varijana Sayatam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Vadana Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Yati Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatayine Vansha Kalpataruvasya Kripa Sindhubheva Chapatitanam Vavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Dvishe Namaha Panjatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarugam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Akhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Anandalila Maya Vigrahaya Hemanga Divya Chavi Sundaraya Tasmai Mahaprema Rasa Pradaya Shri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Radhama Vrindavanam రమ్యాకాచిత్ ఉపాసనా వ్రజవదు వరగేన వాకల్పితా శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ప్రమాణమమలం ప్రేమా పుమార్థో మహా శ్రీచైతన్య మహాప్రభోర్మతమిదం తత్రాధారావన పరా హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాస్తది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. శ్రేయ ప్రజపాలమేవ రాజ్ఞో యత్ సంప్రాయ సకృతాత్ షష్టమంశ హర్త అన్యత హత పుణ్య ప్రజానాం అరక్షిత కరహారో అఘం అత్తి. టు గివ్ ప్రొటెక్షన్ టు ద జనరల్ మాస్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ సిటిజన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద స్టేట్ ఇస్ ది ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఆక్యుపేషనల్ డ్యూటీ ఫార్ అ కింగ్. బై యాక్టింగ్ ఇన్ దాట్ వే ద కింగ్ ఇన్ హిజ్ నెక్స్ట్ లైఫ్ షేర్స్ 1/6 of the results of the pious activities of the citizens. But a king or executive head of a state who simply collects taxes from the citizens but does not give them proper protection as human beings has the results of his own pious activities taken away by the citizens. And in exchange for his not giving protection, he becomes liable to punishment for the impious activities of his subjects. So this wonderful chapter where Lord Vishnu appears in the sacrificial of arena where Prithu Maharaj is performing sacrifice for the like a hot sacrifice which he has done for 99 times, and at last Brahma comes and asks him, now stop it, because Indra is propagating a totally different sampradaya because he is afraid of your activities. So it's better to stop now, and we all are pleased with your activities. And just to prove that, Lord himself with Indra is appearing in the arena of the sacrifice. So actually we'll just recap the few verses from this chapter, because for last 10 days we were just discussing about the glories of holy name. So we'll just recap the whole thing so that we can continue with the same session of this episode. So this chapter starts with the conversation between Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. The first text itself, Maitreya Rishi says that how Lord appears there in the sacrificial arena with the Indra, and he start speaking with Maharaj Prithu, and he starts giving him instruction. The very second verse itself, Lord starts giving instruction to Maharaj Prithu, and he says that, my dear King Prithu, Indra, the King of Heaven, has disturbed your execution of 100 sacrifices. Now he has come with me to be forgiven by you. Therefore, excuse him. Then in the next verse, he explains about a person who is advanced human being, whom we can call as an advanced human being. Just not by making a material new inventions and some material modification in the way of living and staying, no one becomes advanced. To become an advanced human being, what we need, that Lord has explained here in this verse, the text number 3. He says, Sudhiya sadavo loke naradeva narattamaha nabhi duryanti bhutebhya yarhi natma kalevaram. O king, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activities for others is considered best amongst the human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. If someone wants to become an advanced human being, then he should not be malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is indifferent from the soul. Here we can see the common theme. Whenever Lord, he speaks with his deity, he starts with destroying the bodily conception of a life. Whether in the Bhagavad Gita, whether in the Uddhava Gita, the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, whether he spoke to Kardama or whether Kapila spoke to Devavati, the first thing the Lord started with, destroying the bodily conception of life. And here also he says the same thing. That those with the advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is non-different, is different from the soul. Then in the next verse, he explains about the things which makes our advancement simply a waste of time. What is that? He says, if a personality like you, who are so much advanced because of executing the instruction of the previous acharyas, is carried away by the influence of material energy, then all your advancement may be considered simply a waste of time. A person follows the instruction of the acharyas and still gets carried away by the influence of Maya, then whatever endeavor he is putting to make advancement, Lord says that it is a simply waste of time. Then in next verse, he explains about a person or the qualities of a person who does not get addicted to this body. Atakaya imam vidvan vidya kama karma bhi arabdha iti naiva asmin pratibuddho anushujyate. Those who are in full knowledge of the bodily conception of life, who know that this body is composed of nisayan, desires and activities resulting from the illusion, do not become addicted to the body. If someone has to get rid of this dehatma buddhi, then he should have this knowledge. And Lord said it is a full knowledge about this body and about our own self. Then in the next verse, Lord himself, he asks the question. He says, how can a highly learned person who has absolutely no affinity for a bodily conception of life be affected by the bodily conception in regard to house, children, wealth and similar other bodily productions? If someone claims himself to be free from the bodily conception of life, and still if he is getting influenced by the most of material nature, that means something is wrong. And that's why Lord puts the question, how is it possible? The person who absolutely no affinity for the bodily conception of a life is affected by the bodily conception in regard of house, children, wealth and similar things. Then he explains the same thing as he starts with Arjuna claiming, saying that you claim yourself as a pandita, but you are speaking like a, you claim yourself as a pandit, but your behavior is like a foolish person. You are thinking about those things which one should not think about. And then he explains about the qualities. Why you should not think about that? Because your original qualities are like this. Then he explains about the qualities of the soul. And here also, after explaining how one should get rid of the bodily conception of life, he here again explains about the qualities of the soul. He says, Ekaha shuddha svayam jyotir nirguno asav gunashraya sarva go anavritta sakshir nira atma atmanaha saraha. Shishrada Rasvi Hari Bhagavan ki jai, Sita Rama Lakshmana Naman ki jai, Rai Gaura Chandra ki jai. Then in the next work, he explains about how one can save himself from getting affected by the material energy. What one should do, then he will be protected from the material energy. He says that although within the material nature, one who is situated in full knowledge of the Paramatma and Atma is never affected by the modes of material nature, for he is always situated in my transcendental loving service. Then in the next verse, he explains about a person who is satisfied. What is meant by this satisfaction? How one can achieve that? And who is really satisfied? He says that, my dear King Prithu, when one situated in his occupational duty, engage in my loving service without motive for material gain, he gradually becomes very satisfied within. Who becomes satisfied within? Who renders loving devotional service to the Lord without any motivation. That's the more important thing. And then in the next verse, text number 10, he explains the peace formula, as he has explained in the 5th chapter, 29th verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So here he says, who can achieve peace? Parityakta guna samyak darshuno vishada ashayaha shantim me samastva samasvasthanam brahma kaivalam ashnote. When the heart is cleansed of all material contamination, the devotee's mind becomes broader and transparent, and he can see things equally. At that stage of life, there is a peace, and one is situated equally with me as Sachidananda Vigraha. If someone desires to have a peace in his life, the Lord puts the first condition that his heart should be cleansed from all material contamination. And as Prabhupada says, to become Krishna consciousness means free from sinful activities. That means you have to cleanse your heart from all the contamination, because contamination is the cause of sinful activities. So in the next verse, he explains about a person who is eligible to get liberated. He says, Udasinam avadhyaksham dravya jnana kriyatmanam kutastham imam atmanam yo vedam apnoti shobhanam. Anyone who knows that this material body made up of 5 gross elements, the sense organs, the working senses and the mind, is simply supervised by the fixed soul, is eligible to be liberated from material bondage. If someone claims himself that he is a liberated, then he should know all these things. Because generally the Mayavadi conception of liberation, they think just if someone attains that Brahma Jyoti, then he is liberated. Or if someone becomes one with the Lord, that is liberation. No. Then in the next verse, he explains about a person or the qualities of that person who never gets agitated by the material happiness and distress. He says, my dear King, the constant change of this material world is due to the interaction of 3 modes of material nature, the 5 elements, the senses, the demigods who control the senses, as well as the mind, which is agitated by the spirit soul. All these taken together comprise the body. Since the spirit soul is a completely different from this combination of gross and subtle material elements, my devotee who is connected with me in intense friendship and affection, being completely in knowledge, is never agitated by material happiness and distress. The person who has a knowledge about how things are running in this world, which are caused by, as Lord says, that five elements, senses, the demigods who are controlling the senses, and the mode in which that soul has born, has taken birth in this world. These are the cause of your activities. If someone understands this, and then he renders service to the Lord, that person never gets agitated by the material happiness and distress. Then in the verse 13, now he comes to the point of explaining the occupational duties of king. What he should do? What are the duties of leader? What they should be and how they should deal with their citizens. So here Lord explains to King Pritha, my dear heroic king, please keep yourself always equipoised and treat people equally, whether they are greater than you, in the intermediate stage or lower than you. Do not be disturbed by temporary distress and happiness. Fully control your mind and senses. In this transcendental position, try to execute your duties as king in whatever condition of life you may be posted by my arrangement. For your only duty here is to give protection to the citizens of your kingdom. And then in today's verse, Lord explains about the prime duty of king. And if he follows, what result he is getting. And if he does not, then what he has to get as a reaction for that activity. The first para itself, Lord explains about, the first para in the purport, Prabhupada explained the situation of a people who think that following spiritual life means you are doing something wrong. Because they think if everyone becomes devotee and they just do chanting and dancing, then how the all material affair will go on? What will happen then? Lord has made this world, so let it go as it's going on. So why you are disturbing his plans? Because they are not understanding the real plan of the Lord of this, for this creation. Why he has created this material world? He has created this material world to facilitate living entities to render nice service so that they can go back home back to Godhead. If they don't understand this purpose of creation, then they have such a question. As Prabhupada says here that and that this question is asked by a person who are foolish, who don't have a proper knowledge. They can only ask such a question. And then he explains about how Lord has created this Varnashram system, why he has given it. Chaturvarna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. According to the modes of material nature in which that living entity has born, he is forced to do certain kind of activities. And to facilitate him, Lord has created this Varna and Ashramas, so that one can perform his duties properly. And in this end of this first para, Prabhupada explains that Lord has given clear indication that who can attain him. He says that sve sve karma karmanya abhirata, the person who is engaged himself according to his modes of material nature and performs his activities, he certainly attains the Lord. No need of switching over or changing your activities. Some people, they think that if you have to render spiritual service to the Lord, means you have to abandon everything. It's not possible. You can't leave everything. Because certain things which are sahaja, with your birth, they are there with you. Rather than just leaving them, you have to devote them in the Lord's service. And for that purpose, Lord has created this varnashram system. Like when Arjuna, he said, I'm not going to fight. I don't want to be the part of the sinful activities of killing my own kinsman. Rather than that, I will become a beggar. I will go door to door and beg and I will survive myself. But Lord said, no, that's not your duty. Tasmat utthishya konde yuddhaya kratanishya. Get up and fight. That's your duty. One devotee, he was explaining about this particular regard. He was saying that because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, most of the time he has given wonderful commentaries on this verse. There he says that when Lord says Arjuna that no, it's not your job to do, to go and beg. Because Kshatriya, they can't beg. It's not there in their blood itself. They can't ask something from someone. They know how to snatch it from others. As there is a story in Mahabharata, once all these Pandavas, when they were in a forest, one day Draupadi was sitting and she saw one wonderful lotus which has a 1,000 petals and very white in color. And as you know, in Mahabharata, if we see the attire of all the characters, the Yudhishthira, he always used to wear white clothes. So she thought in her mind that, let me offer it to my husband, Yudhishthira. But that was pale. So she was thinking, if I can get fresh one, then I can offer it to Yudhishthira. Then she asked it to Bhima, because Bhima was a bit obedient to Draupadi than other her husbands. So she asked Bhima, can you get it for me, this 1,000 petal lotus? Bhima said, yes, why not? And you know, he is Ansha of Vayu, so he has a speed with him. Immediately he started to that direction from where he was seeing all the Hansas. They are coming. So he went along that way. And he reached that particular place where he saw there is a big lake full of this 1,000 petal lotuses. Then he just went and grabbed one lotus and tried to pluck it out. Suddenly one yaksha appeared there. He said, hey, you can't touch this lotus. He said, why? He said, it belongs, this whole lake belongs to Kuvera. And Kuvera, he used this lotus to worship his Ishtadev, Shivji. So if you want, you go and get a permission from Kuvera. You ask. And if he gives, then only you are qualified to take this lotus from here, sir. He said, what? You are asking me to go and ask, take a permission from Kuvera? Forget. Then he said, if you say forget, then stand and fight with me. And then only you can. And then Bhima fought with him, because he said, I'm a Kshatriya, I don't know how to ask. I know how to grab it. So he fought with him, he defeated that yaksha, he took as much as lotus as he can, and he came back to Draupadi. And his brother is Arjuna. And Arjuna has taken a vow, if someone offends or someone abuses his Gandiva, he will chop out the neck of that person with his sword. He has taken a vow. And then in the Kurukshetra, when that fight happened, and when Abhimanyu got killed, all they were in lamentation. And Krishna and Arjuna, they were away from the battlefield, they were chasing out some enemies. And when they came back, and when Arjuna came to know, he was so much in distress that his only one son had died. In that time, he started accusing Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira also got angry. He said, what's the use of having Gandiva in your hand? What you did? You are not able to protect your own kinsman. And when Arjuna heard that, immediately he took out his sword, because he has taken a vow that whoever will do that, he will just kill that person. And Krishna said, no, you can't do that. It's your brother. And he stopped him. And then he told him that, rather than killing him, insult. Say a few words so that he can get insulted. Because for great people, insult itself is like a death. And he is elder to you. And if you insult him, then it is as good as death for him. And then Arjuna insulted him. And then again begged forgiveness. Because he said, because of passion and anger, I did this, but please forgive me. So this Arjuna, in the beginning of a Kurukshetra, asked Lord, oh, I don't want to fight. Rather than that, I will become a beggar. And I will go door to door and beg, and I will survive. But I will not kill my kinsman. Then Bhishma Chakravarti Thakur says there, that Lord said him, there are some, what we can say, the words between the gaps. Lord said, you may go to beg, but if someone sees a Gandiva in your hand, because you are Arjuna, you can't live without Gandiva. So if you take your Gandiva with you and you go and beg, and if someone says, you have such a sturdy body, you are having a bow in your hand, and you are begging, what kind of a rascal you are? And if he starts saying that, what is the use of this bow you are having in your hand, just throw it out. You will get angry and you will kill that person. And that's not the task of any bhikshuk. To accept this bhikshuk vritti is the highest occupation in this material world. That's what the Manusmriti says. And that should be accepted only by a brahmana and sannyasi, no one else. Because only brahmana and sannyasi can retaliate the karmas that they are getting from begging. The begging means they are getting the karmas, surplus karmas of the grihasthas or whoever gave them donations. So whatever donation or whatever charity they get not only a charity, the karma of that person also. And only a brahmana and sannyasi, they can only retaliate with that. And others, they will suffer for that karma. So when we beg donation, so make sure that when you get donation, use it 100% in Krishna's service. Otherwise, you have to suffer. You will not get progeny. You will not get a proper respect in a society. So it's better to be careful. And that's why Lord says, here Prabhupada says, that if someone follows his prescribed duties, then he can attain the highest perfection in a life. Then the second para of this purport, he explains about the present situation of the society. What's going on at present? The government is not caring about the spiritual advancement of citizen, and that's why citizen, they are walking whimsically, they are performing their activities whimsically, and the result of this whimsical activities is always sinful. And if citizens, they are performing the sinful activities, definitely the results of that sinful activities will go to administrators, the leaders. So here, a word of caution for them who wants to be a leader. If you want to be a leader, then you should take care of your subordinates to make sure that they are making progress in spiritual life. Or otherwise, if they perform any sinful activities, the result will go to you. If they do some pious activities, only 1/6 you will get. And Manusmriti says, if they do some impious activities, you have to suffer for that. Because you claim yourself as their leader, as their controller. So in your control, if they are doing, means you are sanctioning them. So you are caused for that, and you have to suffer for 100%. So one has to be very, 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 very cautious to become a leader. Like Manusmriti says, that if someone comes and offers you pranam, he folds hands in front of you. That means he is surrendering unto you. And it is your responsibility now to deliver him. Otherwise, you yourself bow down in front of him. Baba, I am not capable for that. It's better that we'll fold our hands in front of the Lord who will take us. If that consciousness is there, then it's okay. Otherwise, you have to suffer. Like people, they think, oh, when you are no bhakta, you used to come in front of me and you are used to offer me dandavat. Now you are just not looking at me. What's going on? You are offending me. It happens if someone becomes senior for a few years and he thinks like that. But he has to understand what is the concept behind someone is offering dandavat to you then. If you are capable to accept that, it's okay. Otherwise, that's why Vaishnavas, they never accept. Whenever if someone offers dandavat, they immediately offer dandavats also. So, this is the general etiquette. Then in the third para, he again explains about, Prabhupada very vividly gives a description about what should be the leader and how he should behave. Especially the government leaders, they levy taxes on the citizen, but if they are not facilitating the citizen for progressing in a spiritual life, then they are meant to suffer for that. So it's better that one should understand this course of conduct and follow in his life. Then in the fourth para of this purport, Prabhupada says this same principle is applied to parents and spiritual master. If we read further canto, the fifth canto, chapter 5, where Maharaj Yashodhara there gives his teaching to his son, there also he explains about this particular conduct. He says that Guru na sasyat, Svajana na sasyat, Pita na sasyat, Janani na sasyat, Daivam na sasyat, Patishya sasyan, na mochayet samupetam vrityam. He said, Guru is not Guru if he is not capable to deliver his disciple. And in this particular purport, Prabhupada says clearly, only a pure devotee can become a Guru, who is 100% Krishna conscious and free from all sinful activities. And then only one can able to become a Guru and accept disciples. Because he is responsible for all their activities. The same thing he says about the father and mother. Itāna sasyāt, janānīna sasyāt. As Prabhupada says here, that if parents simply give birth to children like a cats and dogs, but cannot save their children from the imminent death, they become responsible for the activities of their animalistic children. So when someone becomes grihastha, as in one of the purport Prabhupada said, it is just not a license for you to for sense gratification, but it is a greater responsibility that you are taking in this universe. Not in only your life, but in universe. Because you are facilitating some souls to come in this material world. And it is your responsibility that you have to make sure that they should go back on back to Godhead. It is the responsibility of parents, then what to speak of? Guru. Parents, they are just taking responsibility of their 2, 3, 4, 5 or maybe a dozen of kids. But Guru has to take a responsibility of thousands. So how much careful they should be. The leaders, how much careful they should be. What gives you a seniority? The sense of responsibility gives you a seniority. Not the just years that you are spending, but the sense of responsibility, how much sense of responsibility you have, that gives you a seniority. And that's why Prabhupada in one of his purport he says, a senior means a person who is sincere in his responsibility. So let's try to imbibe all these qualities in our life, because Prabhupada wants this institute is meant for creating leaders. So let's fulfill His words by following His instruction wonderfully in our life, by following the footsteps of our own spiritual master. Hare Krishna. Any comment, bro? Diaphragm kharab ho jayega वैसे मारोगे तो.
This four varna duties of four varna is mostly related to male members of the family. What about the female members of your family? What they are supposed to do in respect of their four varna?
According to Manushruti, the duty of female, she may belongs to any varna or ashrama, is to serve her husband, to facilitate him in rendering service to the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. That's it. Nothing
service,
more.
Service unit.
Yes.
Just like service
yes.
unit.
That's why in one of the purport where I think it's in the purport of prayers of Kunti, in one of the purport Prabhupada says, it's very natural and very easy for a woman to make a progress in spiritual life because they are having an inborn quality of servitorship. Inborn they have that quality of rendering service. So it's very easy for them to make advancement in spiritual life. And there he says, the most prime duty of a female or woman is to take care of her children and make sure that they should become Krishna conscious. That's it.
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.